traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
On holiday, there's nothing like doing nothing. As an Expedia member, you can save up to 30% when you add a hotel to your flight, so you can go out there with great ambition to do absolutely nothing for less. Expedia, made to travel.
I'm on the internet and stuff, or just watch SmackDown. I run that show. And Logan Paul will never have.
Is it Mikey listening to a didgeridoo?
Stop. Oh, man. Things are falling again. Welcome back to Impulse, the number one podcast in the world, except things fall on our set. It's a little bit of a nightmare. It's a production disaster. But here we are. Another week of Impulsive. Let me tell you something, guys.
Tell us.
Are we rolling?
Yeah.
Wait, so we're not rolling?
We are. No, we're
rolling. Oh, but the sound's not?
The sound's not rolling?
Oh, so we're rolling.
Well, who are you, though?
Bro, I'm not going to lie. Nobody asked him. He's just been hanging out. We kind of were just like...
Yeah, I'm Logan. Seems... Nice to meet you. Yeah. Take a prime if you want.
He's been contributing. He seemed like a nice guy. Dude. We kind of just let him hang out, dude.
I'm like, who are you, guy?
I think he was gambling at the casino, bro.
Did you win any money? Oh, he won money.
The casino, by the way, here at the beautiful Hard Rock of Hollywood, Florida. Thank you so much once again to the Hard Rock. We love you, Keith, to Hard Rock New York, to Hard Rock Hollywood, Florida, for having us for this extremely powerful episode of Impulsive.
Yeah, this is a really good episode. I think our guest is coming up as we speak. But yeah, I got a lot of love for the Hard Rock. Got a lot of love for a brand new Prime. Metamoon, it's our new flavor. Guys, I have to be honest with you. I have yet to try it out of the bottle. I approve the sample flavor, right? Me and JJ go back and forth. But I have yet to try it out of the bottle, and I don't think you guys have tried this flavor yet.
Can I be the first to try it because I'm the top promoter of the beverage and I have 0% of the company?
Do you think you deserve a percentage of equity in Prime?
Are you asking seriously?
Maybe.
Bro, I mean, I have it in every single video and Instagram post I put out. But I still, I don't know. Why are you asking me this question right now?
I can put in a good word for the guys upstairs and potentially get you some equity.
Or even just like a deal.
I won't, by the way. I'm not gonna. I could, is what I said. George, you try this.
Just give me the dinghy when it sells. Just give me the dinghy when it sells.
The deal is when Prime gets acquired.
Can we cheers this?
And I buy a $100 million yacht. Mike is going to be, he's going to get the dinghy.
Named after me.
Yeah. Metamoon, out the bottle. Cheers. Brand new Prime flavor.
I already drank it.
Here we go. Oh, God. We don't miss. I got to be honest. We don't miss.
Wait,
we haven't missed
what
yet.
What is it?
Delightful.
So that's what it is, what you just said.
It's like a
flavor.
Like, what the fuck is this?
Exactly.
Like, why is
it's
it
like
so
a berry
clean?
Mixed with a cotton candy thing.
It's very clean.
It's actually a great description of it. We have been describing it as a flavor so good we can't describe it. Which is a horrible description.
That is a terrible It's like berries meets cotton candy in like Disneyland in your mouth.
It's like they took all of the flavors that like dropped into a tub that fell off the line and they just threw them all into one punch together. And like, well, what do we name it?
Yeah.
And just came up with a random name. Listen, man, I give it a thumbs up.
Nice thumb. What happened?
Well, glad you asked. Last night, I was at a dinner. It's New York Fashion Week, as you probably know, even while this episode's airing. And I was at a dinner. I'd invited a bunch of people. We were at Tao, another one of our good friends, with John Schwartz up in the skybox. The night was going great. Then out of nowhere, Jeff Wittick and Tana Mongeau came.
Ooh!
And I asked Jeff Wittick to give me a very quick shape up, like, because we had the show today with a straight edge.
At Tao.
Late, at Tao.
I saw him cutting your hair at dinner.
Yeah.
Bro, first you're trying to be Andrew Tate. Now you're trying to be Gideon?
I'll take whatever I can get. Dude. I'll be whoever's popping. Nah, fuck that, bro. I will steal like an artist until the day I die.
I don't
bro.
Mind. Okay? I don't mind.
No. I just needed a quick shape up. So Jeff's there. They got the flashlights on. Jeff pops in. He takes the paper off the straight edge blade that's going into the blade to do my face. And he hands me the paper from the blade.
Okay.
And he's like, hold this. And so while he's trimming my face, I'm crumbling the paper up in my thumb.
As one does.
He didn't tell me that the paper comes with another blade.
Oh.
So there was a fresh, surgically sharp, straight edge blade in the paper as I was pressing my thumb.
What a rat bastard.
Into it. And I looked down and I said, I am covered with the Red Sea of amount of blood. And it was everywhere, all over Jen Selter, the original Instagram butt model's toes and shoes. Tana Mongeau.
So you bled on a butt model?
Oh, absolutely.
Super on brand.
100%.
I like that for you.
So I was rushed. Well, I rushed myself. Everybody else was like, yo, do you want us to come with you or something? Please say no. Please say no. It was like one in the morning, Friday.
You know how
night.
Shitty that is. You know how shitty that is to accompany the person to the hospital.
You
didn't stay with
anyone.
Me in the hospital when I cut my arm open from punching through the window.
Yeah,
I
drove you. Them off.
You drove me.
You didn't even pull over. You kicked them out of the car.
Can I tell you why? When we went in that night to the hospital, there was a woman screaming. And I mean, do you remember that?
Of course.
Screaming
it's
at the top of her
lungs. Seared
into
my brain.
So anyways, I went in there and the doctor ended up being very cool. He goes, hey, man, listen, 30 minutes. I'll have you out of here. You can go back out. Got stitched up, 5 stitches, went back to the box.
Attaboy.
Your favorite spot.
That's a pretty, I can't believe you went to the hospital into the, I actually went to the hospital after the box. And I went the opposite. I actually went to the doctor and found out my thyroid was out of whack.
Wait, let me just do a quick CTA. Thumbs up for you, Mike. And thumbs up for everyone who subscribed when I said to subscribe in the last episode. We did some research. Caleb did some research and he's discovered that when we say subscribe, people do it. So I'm here to remind you, subscribe. You don't have to, but our followers are growing when we say it. So hit that subscribe button because we notice a lot of you watch, but you don't always hit that button. So join the family officially. Before you go about your doctor visit, I just want to say, because I was high last night, I thought it was being very funny. Nice. When Mike texted the group chat and he's like, guys, just issue after issue. He goes, I just cut my finger off. Not even kidding. Going to the hospital again. I said, can you still point or play thumb war? and right, we don't know the state of this emergency, right? Like his thumb could have been off or like any finger, right? Issue after issue. Okay, why did you cut it off? Let's start there. And are you using speech to text? So it was funnier in my head because, well, you type with your thumbs. And I was like, how's this guy typing if he just cut his thumb off? Anyways.
But it is representative of like the level of humor that we maintain as like friends, regardless of the situation. I can tell you, bro, like I'm in dire straits right now, and you're always gonna launch back at a joke because, first of all, you know I can handle it. Like you, when I told you that my finger was hanging off, as it was fucked up bad. Were you at any point like, yo, I should take this seriously?
Only because it was a finger, no. If you start talking about hands
or like tendons or something,
now I'm kind of concerned, right. And also like. Mike, you're my big bro. I have permission to never give it easy to you, bro. Like, I gotta lean in.
Oh, wait, what? It's supposed to go the other way.
No.
I thought you're supposed to pick on the little bro.
Yeah, but the little bro, when he picks on the big bro, people like clap and stuff.
He's
finding his footing.
Yeah.
Anyways, George, what were you gonna say?
Yeah, your short story is why would you need enemies when you have friends like this? Literally, people are like, dude, how are you so thick-skinned? I was like, hang out with Mike and Logan for a little bit, bro. Like, you try to whisper some, like, dreams at them, they'll whisper some shit right back to you. I went to the doctor because I wasn't feeling great, dude. Like, I really wasn't feeling good. And there was this homeopathic doctor that could go like this with your back. And he touched you. I didn't believe this shit, bro. Like, when my mom was like, listen, he fixed my everything. Your dad used to be diabetic. Now he eats candy. I was like, what? I was like.
Does he target pressure points on your body?
I have no idea what he does. But it has to do with pressure points because he touches your toes. But here's the weird thing, bro. I tore this. And this is like a legitimate story.
And what is that? Exactly.
I don't know what this is, bro. When I was trying to be a boxer, I fucked my shit up.
Yeah,
here.
You tore your armpit.
Tore my armpit, bro. Even putting on deodorant hurt. Like I couldn't move my arm like this. I didn't go in for that. I went in because I just didn't have that oomph, like as a man. Like I just like, you know, like that get up every single day and work grind. I don't have that anymore.
Some testosterone.
I thought I did. So I was like, yo, is it my testosterone? I mean, what is it? Like, what's going on? So I go there and this is what tripped me out, bro. I never told him about this. And so when he touched my toes and then poked my back and says, oh, when did you tear this? I was like, I didn't even tell you about this. Oh, he goes, oh, I can feel it. By the way, your thyroid is off, and this is off. And this
oh, yikes.
Off.
Yikes.
He gave me medicine.
George, if we unzip you right now, is Spencer Taylor going to be inside your body? Have you become some sort of...
Soy boy?
Like, I don't want any drama with Spencer Taylor. I didn't mean it like that. I didn't mean soy boy. You threw that in.
You soy boy, brother?
I just mean like...
What is happening?
Okay, George, here's what's happening. You just told me that someone... You went to a doctor's office. Yes. The guy started playing with your toes and told you you have a thyroid problem.
Yes.
That's when I start to become alarmed.
No, listen.
This little piggy went to the market. This little piggy has a thyroid problem. Like, bro, stop. Get a blood test and an ultrasound. I'm sick of your shit.
Oh, I just
be a Christian.
I did.
Not a fucking surfer.
I went to two doctors. One, I was just like you, bro. I was literally on the same
page. A human. A guy from the world.
He used to be like you, but then he evolved.
Well, I wasn't homeopathic practices. I mean, I don't know where we went with this.
He's like, later on, we played Candyland, and he said, I have propensity for cancer later on in life. Like, bro, where is he getting these answers from?
I don't know if I trust this homeopathic
doctor.
How
did he target you?
Well,
were you walking down the street? He's like, hey, buddy, let me touch those toes. Like,
yeah, what?
Wait, so okay, bad? Okay. Is your armpit still pulled or is it back together?
No, it's torn. So I have to like
nothing happened.
I have to go to whatever is the physical thing. But the physical therapy. But I didn't know that my thyroid was off. You gave me medicine, bro. And I know this sounds really gross. My poop is completely different.
Oh, that's fire.
And they said that I was super unhealthy before. So I had everything checked. And if you wouldn't have caught this, I
Hold on a second.
I was actually really sick and I had no idea.
I hate to ask this question, especially before we have such a prestigious guest coming on.
Yeah.
But can you describe to me what your poop looked like and what it looks like now?
Yes. This is what I wanted to get into. Thank you. So
this is the shit you want to get into.
This is the shit that I want to get into. My poop before, I thought it was because of the caffeine and maybe because I was drinking Prime now, some shit happened.
Whoa.
I'm just joking.
Prime makes your taste good.
Oh,
how do you know?
Extensive research,
holy
brother.
Shit.
I've been busy.
Holy shit.
Sucking dick. I've been busy sucking.
Sitting there with a funnel in his mouth, just aiming for the.
No,
ceiling.
It's pretty. I'm pretty excited. We got a pineapple flavor coming too. I can't
see that. That is something I'm interested in because, as we know, diced pineapples is great for the splooge, dude.
Yeah, now imagine diced prime. Prime already makes your taste good. Now imagine if it's pineapple
and dice.
Now describe to me what your poop looks like before our guest comes in the door, like he is now.
Okay, it was super liquidy before, yep. And it wasn't hard. It wasn't a strong.
Never spoon. Thought of anything about that. Just thought. That
never thought about it once.
Oh man.
Never thought about it. It wasn't even my thing. Dude, I was pissing out of my asshole. I thought it was quick. And then it was like a quick wipe. I'm out. But now I'm gonna have some hard stool. Our guest is here.
Well, you can keep going.
Okay, so my poop is not strong. It's real. Some might say it's the strongest.
See, I think this is a perfect sentence for him to walk in on. So do you contribute 100% of your poop change to the man that played with your toes?
Yes.
Okay, fair enough. Now let's bring our guest on.
Cool.
Imagine walking into a podcast and that being the
first. We suck.
Terrible. I feel great now because of the man who poked me.
Should I read your intro, Dylan? Dylan, I like this intro.
That.
No, I like it.
By the way, I'm healthy again. I just want to let you guys know.
Good for you, George.
Thank you.
Our guest today is the biggest WWE superstar in the world. He is one of the longest running champions of all time, and he is currently the face of the company that I now work for. He is the tribal chief. He is the head of the table, and he demands you acknowledge him. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Roman Reigns.
Look at the calves on this guy.
I mean,
dude.
He's big.
Damn. That makes Jake Paul's calves look like toothpicks, bro.
So.
You're a big guy.
I appreciate you, man. Like, my mom and dad would, you know, appreciate the kind words.
Dude, I love watching you hold things and making them look so tiny.
All right, easy, George.
Yeah, George. Maybe.
Should I not wear this?
Nah, if you're good looking, you don't have to wear it.
You don't have to if you don't want.
Certainly don't.
Okay.
How you doing today, man?
I'm all right. Not bad.
I like your beard.
Thank you. You're good.
Well, are you going to just keep with the compliments? Know. Yeah.
He's a good looking guy, bro. He's up close.
That's
man.
A thick beard to be sitting next to.
Listen.
Pretty thick. You won't want to sit next to this on the airplane, let me tell you.
What the fuck?
Well, I can say it. I'm Middle Eastern.
You will not start off this program with some racial remark
towards
like
yourself.
That.
Towards yourself.
Oh, okay. I'm so sorry.
We are a PG group of people, and you will abide by a good sound moral compass.
My stool is impeccable right now. Like, I am shitting.
Oh, you shit.
I was sick and I had no idea, and now my stool is rock hard, bro.
So you're constipated now?
No. I'm no
George.
Yeah.
No, let's go.
No, Roman, I got to save you. No.
Thank you, bro.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, gut
you
health.
You are more of a friend than these motherfuckers right now.
I think.
Oh my God. You know what, bro?
There's like a stat out You're there. You're my 90% guy, bro. 90% of sickness comes from your bad gut. Health.
Dude, I didn't know this, bro.
He's actually right.
Oh, now you're involved, huh? Now you're involved? Go fuck yourself.
Well, you didn't tell him how you found out. Go ahead, tell him about you.
I went to a homeopathic doctor. Short story. He's poking at my pressure points, touching my toes. I have a thyroid problem.
Like he was playing with your G-spot.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. Roman,
Mike was just jealous because he found the G-spot. Mike can't find anything when it comes to that.
I asked him if he knew it. We're getting out of hand, guys. Come on, we have.
Where we're at.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
I really appreciate you caring about it, though. I really do. That means a lot.
Bro, the combat sports lines have been crazy, though. There's MMA on tonight, and I think a big boxing match coming up in the 17th.
Massive, and that's perfect because today's video sponsor is SeatGeek. We love you, SeatGeek. Live events are finally back. I'm excited. Whether it's football, baseball, basketball, concerts, MMA, or festivals, SeatGeek puts tickets from all over the web in one place to make tickets buying simple. SeatGeek is the absolute best place to buy tickets. Got the app on our phone right here. Check it out. There's a lot of WWE events coming up. I'll be there, so it might be a good idea to start searching for tickets right here in the app. They rate every ticket from 0 to 10 to make sure you're getting a good deal.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Grand Canyon University makes earning your degree possible with over 130 academic programs for traditional campus students, with more than 80 bachelor's programs offered online. GCU provides you with the personal support you need, from complimentary unofficial transcript evaluations within 24 business hours to scholarships, academic support, and your GCU graduation team, led by your own university counselor. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Green means good. Red means bad. Also got a hookup for you guys. Use the code Logan for $20 off tickets at SeatGeek. That is $20 off your first purchase with the promo code Logan. Make sure to click the link in the description to download the app. Thank you, SeatGeek. We love you. I'll see you guys at my WWE events. Back to the show. I understand we're impulsive, but I do have to give respect to you, Roman Reigns. You're the GOAT right now. Bro, Mike bought your t-shirt. After SummerSlam, he comes.
I wish I had it with me.
He comes in the locker room. He goes, acknowledge the bloodline. Yeah, he got merch on it. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? You've turned everyone I know and love into fans.
Beautiful, man. But that's what I mean. I think that's the beauty of kind of what you bring is you're bringing new fans, and that's what we appreciate. That's what we're looking for. So you know. And I'm literally doing an interview as we're walking up, and he's asking me if there's like backlash towards that. And I think maybe for some people, but once you reach a certain point in your career and you understand the big picture and you're just trying to get as many eyeballs, as many asses and seats, as much traction, as many comments and as much chatter as you can about your product and your company and the platform that you're representing, you know, having somebody like you bring that attention and then having somebody like me loving it, like, bring them in.
I
want them, you know what I mean? Because that's the extra people that I can add to my following. And that's how we work together.
By the way, that's what Mike and George do to me, too.
Hey, good beards, good gut health, good stools. That's what the bloodline brings to the table, baby.
Let's go.
You know what I'm saying?
To that point, the WWE fan base is known to be, like, one of the most notoriously, like, protective groups of people about what they love, right? And I think that it is a part of why they look at this guy coming in from the social media world, from other parts of the entertainment world, with that kind of crooked eye. Do you think that he started off in a good way and has made a good impression on the core audience so far?
Oh, 100%. I think, you know, and we've been lucky enough to have some outside talent come in that has showcased the passion, the drive, that hyper focus that you got to have. And there's got to be something like that where you, oh shit, I got bit by the bug, like the wrestling bug, the sports entertainment bug, like the simultaneous response is happening. And I've never felt anything like that. Cause I mean, you have like a boatload of followers, right? But like you do something and then you like put it through the editing process and then like 3 or 4 days, however many days, then it goes out. But it's not like, man, I just did that. I killed it. And they, like, I know it for a fact because they went nuts out there. Yep. Like they were super loud. The same thing you felt at SummerSlam, right?
Yeah, I got the bug, man.
It's immediate because it's happening as we're doing it. It's live.
Which is a whole nother beast that I'm actually having, I'll say it. I'm having trouble with it. Bro, it is hard. It is.
We hope so. Oh it's not easy, bro. Like, I mean, like anything, it's a 10,000 hour rule. Like, I've years. I mean, I started in 2010.
Yeah.
Been grinding at the highest level for a decade now. And I'm still learning. I'm still progressing. I'm still thinking of these minute details that, you know, only someone that's been this deep in the game thinks about.
I know. And see, I feel like I am trying to learn those things so quick. And I'm watching guys like you. I'm watching Brock. I'm watching a lot of John Cena, Stone Cold, like doing my research and trying to get as versed as I can in this industry. But it is hard, man. And I don't have the luxury of time on my side. I'm here.
You got a lot of expectations, a lot of eyeballs. So not to add the, you know.
No, all good.
Make it real steep for no, it. It's going to be hard. No, you're doing great, though.
Thanks.
You really
man.
Are.
I appreciate
and you. Just, I mean, it's tough because, like, you're trying to get the broad strokes, right? Like, okay, this crazy performance, this crazy art form that I'm now involved in, and there's just so many working, you know, mechanics that go into the performance and things that, because, like, you know, when I played football, I didn't hear it. Anything like I mean I played Division I college football, yep, Georgia Tech, so it was right. Like pretty good, like attendance, so pretty loud noise. But when the play happened, I didn't hear anything. And if that happened to me now, I'm screwed.
Yeah,
then I don't know what to do.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, because we're going off of the response and the reactions that we're eliciting, and that's the magic, is making people make noise.
You've got to evoke that reaction from the crowd. I watched a video recently of John Cena watching an old match of his, and it was really interesting now in hindsight that he has the knowledge that he has to critique his it was his first performance ever.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
He was just watching the crowd. He was barely watching, you know, the moves, the physicality. It's all about the crowd. And I actually just came to the realization, I think WWE is harder than boxing. I think it's a mental torment, dude. Like to consider the crowd and then the moves and then everything all at once. You have to put on a performance, both physically and a performance. It's absurd, man. And you've had a wild journey, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
to say the least.
Yeah, I don't want to discount what you've been through in doing my research. So you were drafted to the Vikings. Correct? Oh, you're playing for the Vikings?
Yeah, I did a free agent deal with the Vikings. What was that, 07? Yeah.
Yeah, and then you got a physical. And then that's how you found out for the first time, correct me if I'm wrong, that you had leukemia.
Well, technically, I wasn't. We weren't quite sure. Okay. This is where we saw the blood labs that showed the elevated white blood cells, which clearly says your body's attacking something. It's fighting off something. So they were like, yeah, it could be anything. Yeah. So we're
infection.
Like, venereal disease, infection, it could be cancer. And then I'm just, all I heard was cancer. I'm like, whoa, it got super heavy. So I had to go home from there. So that was rookie camp. I got up to Minnesota, did rookie camp, woke up before practice. We did all the blood labs and everything, all the, you know, standard physicals that you do. Went through practice. It was a non-padded practice, but it's still, you know, you're doing some stuff. You know, you're still competing.
Yep.
Had a fairly good practice. And then we watched film. As soon as I came out of film, the whole training staff was right there. And
yikes.
I'm looking like, man, hopefully it's this guy behind me that they're getting. But no, yikes. They're pointing at me. And yeah.
What was that moment like for you?
So I compartmentalize emotions sometimes. So I think it was just so overwhelming that it wasn't even believable, you know? And even then it was like, this is back in 07. So this is years ago. And like, you hear about younger people with blood cancers more often now, but back then, a 21-year-old, you know what I mean, coming straight out of college, a Division I football player, supposed to be kind of the peak health, right? Like, you never would expect that. So it put a huge asterisk next to my name when it came to the NFL. So it was just an uphill battle from there, man.
Did they cut you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. They sent me home. Once we got, like, all the proper oncology work back and the blood work back, they ended up releasing me just because there was just, I mean, I don't blame them. There was no, you know, it just was
a medical release. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Has to happen.
Yeah. There was just, there was nothing we could do at that point.
And your wife was pregnant at the time.
Yeah, man.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the start at 22. Like, that's a lot going on, man.
That was my introduction into manhood.
Yeah. No, I mean, I bet that made you a man.
Ah, it's funny how that works. You know, we're still learning. We're still progressing. Yeah. We're still getting better. You know what I mean? I'm still figuring things out about myself.
That's
and
nuts. Dude, to imagine you starting out something that's so beautiful, your girl has a baby, and then they hit you with the, oh, you might not be here. And that's fucking insane.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, it was a mind trip. It was a mind trip. But, I mean, my wife was, you know, my girlfriend at the time, my wife now, super understanding, solid like a rock. You know, she controlled the things she could control. She gave me the time and the patience that I needed. My mom, although very, like most moms, emotional and worries her ass off, yep. She was another one that was solid for me. My family, you know, and that's, I think, you know, that, I mean, through my struggles and some of the charitable work I do, and then even just through my story, I just always talk about how, you know, the family, when they surround you and when people see that, and then also when others see the struggle that you go through, we bond through a struggle so much more than through success and achievements, you know what I mean? And I was just very fortunate to have that security blanket, have that, you know, that support.
For sure, for sure. Yeah, dude, we are all too familiar with struggle on this podcast. Well, maybe not George. He grew up with a pretty rich family.
I had a weak stool.
His gut and his ass is blown out. So yeah, that's pretty much every day's rough for old George here.
I like you're coming off as the weird guy, I think, on this podcast.
Yeah, no, I mean, dude, I like always. It. I'm always the weird guy.
I was gonna say, are you the weird guy?
I have really good empathy. Like I can put myself in the situation and I will be thinking about that story all day. And it'll be like really, really on my mind and heart because it just sits with me. But I would never disrespect you by saying I've dealt with anything like that. So I'm glad you
appreciate that.
You're on to the better.
I think we're on this is the right setup.
No.
And this is my duo right here because that's something as I've gotten older, empathy is something I've had to work on. And I look and I see through the lens of different perspectives. So I have that understanding as a human. But at the same time, when I run into tough shit, I push forward. You know what I mean? It's negative stuff. It ain't for me. We're going to move forward, lock in and create something positive here or try to use it to, because I'm half glass full. The glass is half full kind of guy. You know what I mean?
What puts your mindset in a headlock? Like what type of situation you're like, fuck, I have such trouble trying to get over these type of situations. Like me's like family or friends, like not understanding a situation. I hate being the villain when I shouldn't be the villain. That's my problem when I'm trying to explain something and then I look like the bad guy and I'm like, how the fuck am I the bad guy right now?
Well, that's like a spiral situation too, because as you're trying to explain yourself and they're not getting it, you're getting more angry. It's why do you not
that's
understand?
Happened I'm explaining. That's happened to us a bunch of times.
Yeah, that's just communication. That's stage one of culture is like, can we talk and discuss the things and get the information across and understand each other? And we still struggle with millions
of now more than ever.
Perspective.
Oh, even more so because I got a 14-year-old daughter, and the way she is completely different to how me and my wife are. And then me and my wife are completely different than our older siblings or our parents because the communications are different. You know, these kids, if they don't have the device, it gets awkward, man.
How wild is that?
That's the funnest thing now is go watch some 14-year-olds try to talk to each other in person. It's weirdest stuff ever.
hey, can I text you?
It breaks my heart.
Texting right now?
Oh, that's wild.
It breaks my heart a little bit when I walk into a restaurant, you know, a night out with my friends, whatever, and I see kids on their iPads at the table.
Oh yeah, well, as a parent of five, we're guilty of that. So
I'm gonna do it too. I'm gonna do it too.
You get to a point where you want them to just shut up.
Oh, shut up. Occupy yourself.
Parent yourself. Be quiet.
Fine. Watch Blippi.
Yeah.
And fast forward. Okay, I know I want to start off dark, but I think it's an important part of your story, especially because, you know, you've had back and forths with it for a while. And now, I don't know if you guys know this.
Yep.
He got five kids. Five kids.
Crazy.
Here's the kicker. Two sets of twins.
Two sets of twins.
What's going on? What's going on? That's a strong bloodline, bro.
Hey, acknowledge the bloodline.
Acknowledge that bloodline. Acknowledge that.
Well, when we're not wrestling, we like to have fun, all right? So,
Wrestling, yeah. I'm wrestling.
Just working on my moves, you know? Yeah, man. Got a lot of kids, two sets of twins.
Is it too much? Like,
It's nuts.
One set of twins
we love them. It would die for them immediately, like right now, no problem. But
which one would you die for first?
All of them.
Nah, I mean, there has to be one. You're great, like, answer. He's collateral. Like,
one that's not the twin.
Oh, the girl.
Oh, go for the twin. I mean, because you already have like a set. You know what I mean?
It would take my oldest, my only daughter. So I have four boys, two sets of twins, and my oldest is 14. And she, you know, she's been around for the whole ride. But these guys, the new ones. They're only two, so they have no clue what's going on. Yeah. My five-year-olds are just starting to kind of understand, like, a dad goes to the wrestling show. Okay. They're nuts, but they're, like, getting to a good controllable nuts, but still bad little kids. The two-year-olds are just nuts, so they're
terrible twos.
Terrible twos, yeah.
Bro, every picture I see from Puerto Rico is you and that horse-sized dog, bro.
Quinn is getting so big.
Massive.
Yeah, well, say goodbye to dog crate storage woes and say hello to the Impact Collapsible Dog Crate. You know, I love my dog, Quinn. I'm excited about our new brand partner. The Impact Collapsible Crate's sleek folding design is thoughtfully engineered for functional everyday travel without occupying valuable storage space. The low profile is both lightweight and strong, providing the perfect blend of comfort and safety for your pet. It's designed to bring anywhere you go with your dog. It collapses down to less than 8 inches and can be carried like a briefcase, even on a plane. No more Terrier.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Sorry, Mike. There's a lifetime guarantee, and it's available in 5 different sizes and colors. If you want one, use the discount code LOGAN to save 20% and receive free shipping within the continental United States. Go to impactdogcrates.com and be sure to find the collapsible dog crate. Now back to the show.
I want to talk about the wrestling a little bit. I have been out of the scene for a while. I was Ultimate Warrior, like Razor Ramon, you know, God bless, and you know, Shawn Michaels and all that, like way back.
Yep.
And I got brought back in once again by my good friend Logan Paul here. And I went to Monday Night Raw at Madison Square Garden, the greatest arena on the planet.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'd seen your stuff before, obviously, and seen you and knew who you were, but I was sitting there in awe of this giant man who was able to control a crowd without saying anything. It was one of the greatest things I had ever seen, because people are always so concerned with what they're saying, how they're saying it, their body language. But to watch you sit there and just command that level of attention from the crowd and from the audience without saying or doing anything was an important learning lesson for myself. And it was something that we discussed actually for a good few days after, non-verbal, non-anything communication. You touched on his getting down the broad brush strokes earlier, but it seems like obviously you've learned how to finesse these minor, you know, details into this perfect image. What was that process like, and how long do you think it'll be before he starts ironing as opposed to drying in the dryer?
So you're talking about the fine details,
yeah.
Which comes with experience, which grows the confidence to be able to sit in the storm and be quiet and let them do whatever they're going to do. So I do that. Well, you got to get a reaction, you know, you're dealing with a different audience. You come from this is a huge audience, 30 million people plus watching what you do pretty much in a bunch of different platforms and avenues. But this is a different fan base and it's a different art form, right? So like you're going to have to dabble and just go through the trial and error of it all.
Was there a back and forth with the WWE about how you wanted to be portrayed?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, like, so I didn't come in like as a Logan Paul or like, you know what I mean? I came in as an ex failed football player who had to like go to a warehouse and figure it out. And then they brought us in as a group, as the Shield early on. Then, you know, once I started finding those broad strokes, the basics, you know, of how to A, wrestle, and then B, wrestle on television, you know what I mean? And all those details that you're learning that come with that. Then we split. And once we went on our own, that's when it got hectic, because that's when they were into me. Then they saw, oh, they're pushing him to the moon. They want this guy to be the guy. So they rebelled against me. And then there was a nice little gap of probably anywhere from 2 to 4 years of me. It was almost like a competition with me and the crowd, to where it was like, I'm going to earn this respect every single night. And in our business, we have a saying that you can either, you're either going to work to get over that night, or you're going to work as if you're over. And if you're over, if you go out there with a huge response, you're going to be able to get away with different things. I can go out in Madison Square Garden and let them buzz, because I know they're going to make noise. I know I'm going to like, okay, what are they doing? Oh, okay, I got it. Like, okay, now I'm going to sit. Now I'm going to go into it. And then typically, when you're talking, they're going to listen. But when you pause, they'll get a reaction. But sometimes it's not the reaction you want, because what if they're whatting you? Nobody likes the what.
Right.
So then you got to start playing with your cadence. And now you can cut their whats off and dictate what timing and the chants are going to be.
What is the what?
Yeah, what's a what, bro?
Like when the crowd, you say something. Yep.
That's what they do? Bro, I've heard this. I just didn't know what it was. What?
Yeah, yeah. It's an old Stone Cold Steve Austin gimmick. And they still hold on to it. So they'll hit you with those. And that's when you can hear the, you know, the more experienced performers and talkers, where they'll change their cadence. And like, if I have to machine gun them, I'll machine gun them. But as soon as I know I've stopped that, or I have a gauge on what's happening, I don't mind just sitting and letting them chant. Like, because if they're going to chant your name, if you start to hear them, and so say I'm going into something and like now I start to hear a little buzz or a roam in, then I'll just stun them.
Yeah.
Hit one of those, because now, like, and I, you know, this is a part, and I don't think you've really wrestled in a non-televised event, but this really works for when there's no cameras and you're literally just performing for the arena and the people in the stands. So if you put your attention over here, these people are going to be like, well, he's paying attention to them. Like, I'm going to make some noise or get into the gig. And then you, it's like wildfire. Then now you have the whole arena doing it.
Super.
So active. I hear like a Roman chant over here, and I'm like, I look over there, and then I slowly start gazing here, and then it just picks up.
Oh,
and then I do the full turn. And by the time I come back and I'm in the hard cam, you know, looking like a jerk, you know, feeling myself looking like an ass, they're going nuts. So you just, it's a give and a take, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. You've been the face of WWE for almost, 5 years now, which is...
Since 2015, yeah, so almost 7 years. I mean, Cena was still coming back and forth. I mean, you would still probably say John was still the man when he was there, but I was still carrying the weight and pulling the load.
Gotcha.
Houses, doing tours, you know, the whole nine.
And when you turned heel... Officially, right? That was when your career really started. You found your footing, you think?
I think 100% comfort happened for me to where I could just be in my skin and in the skin of the performer I pictured myself 100% as. But I was in a groove before that, too.
Really?
Even as a good guy, just a baby face doing my thing. I mean... by the time I got to like 2017, 18 and 19, when I had come back from the relapse of the leukemia, you know, there was a little bit of that kind of honeymoon disappearing phase. He's back, happiness. Like, but then there was just, you know, we got to a point after that, even a year after that, where it's just consistency of being good. And they see you do it every single, you know what I mean? Like when you first started YouTube, like, you grew it, right? And they watch you grow and your following built. And it's that kind of boring old adage of the hard work. And when you do it, though, and you see that consistency paying off and it's growing over time, and then you find yourself where you're at.
For sure. No, experience is irreplaceable. It's like
100 with what we do, 100%.
Yeah.
It's trial and error, learning yourself. I mean, I was a football player, so I watched a lot of film. And early on, I watched all the film, from every step that I take in the ring to the mannerisms, to the emotions, to the in-ring talking, shit talking that I do, to when I'm cutting a promo, you know what I mean? Everything is just based off of the experience, the trial and error of knowing what works, what doesn't, my strengths, how to highlight those, how to camouflage a weakness and eventually work to make that a strength. You know, it's just all, you know, it's like anything else, but it's just at the highest level. The details are just where it's at.
For sure. It actually makes me feel good to hear you say that, because, man, I watch my performance,
whether the
promos or the physicality, like with a microscope. I must have watched the SummerSlam match, man, probably 20 times all the way through, just critiquing every little moment because I just want to be the best. But one thing that I definitely wasn't used to when I started WWE was the booze.
Oh, yeah.
The hordes of booze. I took it very personal.
It'll hurt your feelings sometimes.
What the fuck?
Ooh.
How do you deal with that, man? Because sometimes you got an arena, and for so long, too. You know, I just started. You've been doing it forever.
Yeah. Well, the key is when there's no noise, then we're going to be worried for you.
Yeah.
That's the key. So whether it's the booze or the...
But even while you're talking, you know, you're saying some shit that you're supposed to say. And then you'll hear some smart ass be like, "You fucking suck, bro."
And it'd be the one guy, and it's real quiet.
How you stay focused?
Do you engage? Do you ever engage individual fans, or do you wait till it gets to a certain?
You can't. To me, and you have to be. This comes back with the experience and like just having the time in. If you're gonna ad lib. That's true. So it's perfect. It's good. You want to ad lib because it's a live performance, but sometimes ad lib takes your eye off the ball. So now you go back to it. Okay, let me get back on track. Oh shit.
Where is track?
Where was I? Where was I? So that's key.
Wait, like, I got to hear a story. Has this ever happened to you? Have you ever like been in the middle
of it? I blanked a few times.
Can I ask about,
I could blank. I probably blanked a couple of weeks, but like when you get to a certain point, you just roll through it. You know what I mean? Like
there was one promo.
Specific one. Yeah.
Yeah. Specific promo with John Cena.
Oh yeah. 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 That was one of them. Yeah.
You blanked?
I'm trying to think back. I believe I did. Yeah.
So I didn't know the first time I watched it. And then I started reading some of the comments, and it was interesting how the diehard WWE fans felt like you had a shift after that night.
Sure, yeah.
Was there anything about John Cena coming at you about the promo that ignited a part of you that made you better instantly?
I think just being in that position and going through that experience made me better. I don't think it was anything like John specifically, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, because I take from everybody I've worked with, everyone I've competed with. I always try to take something that I learned from them.
Steal like an artist.
You know? Yeah. Absolutely. Man, like you find it's like looking at, you know, like if you're an offensive coordinator, I'm working under you as a, you know, a quarterback coach or something. And it's like, man, that offense was good. I'm take everything that I like from it. Then I'm going to add a little bit, you know, to my own playbook.
Yep, yep.
And then now I got my own formula here. You know what I mean? But I took a little from you. Little Georgia boy, we got good help.
Took from me, my friend.
You guys got
to take a little more. You know what I mean?
You guys got great beards. Well, you mentioned rivalries.
That's where
rivalries.
I was going to. Nice.
Rivalries.
Yeah.
Well, why don't you do it?
I just wanted to talk more about Cena a little bit. Oh. But what did you have?
I was going
to
talk about Big Brock.
Oh, let's do that.
Brock
Lesnar.
Lesnar.
You guys have some back and forths.
Yeah.
Last time I seen you guys, he put his tractor under the ring and lifted it up, and you inception fell back.
Toppled
over. You guys do some crazy shit. That same match, this was the coolest thing I've ever seen in my life. He was on top of the tractor and he threw the mic.
Oh, yeah.
And you didn't even move.
That was insane.
And just caught. I remember seeing it. I was like, how did he do that? So I'm here to ask you today.
How did you do that?
How did you do that?
The boy's got hands.
That's that football. Let's go. But, I mean, the biggest wide receiver I ever seen.
So I played baseball back. So I'm, you know, I'm right-handed, caught with my left.
Yeah,
so
what?
I've always. I don't know if y'all are like that, but like
I have crazy.
I'm crazy.
Like, I don't know if you guys are like that lit, and you could do it.
I know. You know you ain't. We have. I know I got at least one out of two over here, but we're not even going to ask.
Talk about my reflexes.
But like he threw it right to my hand, but I catch good with my left just because of baseball.
So interesting.
But yeah, he threw it right there. But did you hit him with a little wink?
Bro, you wink right after. But did you know, like, how did you map out the trajectory of that microphone and know it was going right there? Like, there was nothing. I just move your head.
Yeah, that's just one of those things. It's like, you know, like old college party trick or something. Someone throws something at you.
I was jealous.
And you just catch it. You know what I mean?
I was jealous. Y'all seen that video of... That was the coolest thing I've ever seen. But this video is actually cooler, bro. I'm sorry. But it's very similar.
You guys listen, are picking
no, no, listen, listen, listen. To,
but you started this.
I was on your side, and then you and said then you I can't shifted, catch it, bro.
And now everybody's
okay, he's the heel. He's the heel now.
Can I? Let's leave it up to the audience. They'll know what I'm talking about. There's a video of, it's some band. This guy is standing on top of the crowd.
That
he's
exactly
performing. Someone throws a cup at him, red solo cup, grabs the cup in the air. Amazing catch. Sees it last minute reflexes, catches it, and then takes a sip out of it, and everyone goes fucking crazy.
That's pretty cool.
Like those impromptu moments like that.
Yeah, if I could add like a beer, if he threw a beer at me and I just chugged it.
Put it on the back burner.
Yeah.
I'm sure Brock Lesnar will toss you a beer one day. But yeah, you and Brock.
Yeah, go ahead. I was just going to say it's a risk because what if that mic does.
That's what I'm saying.
Like hot dog right through that roll, dude, of a handy.
Oh, if I drop it. Then I'm just the bad guy who dropped it. And, you know, I'm just not cool in that.
What do you do? Yeah. Let me ask you that. It pops through. What do you do? You just look to
I'm just staying. I'm just staying on him, hoping they're not shooting that.
Got you it, know, got
like, because there's a lot of good glances you could be getting here. A lot
you know
of,
I'd you know be doing. I mean, the guy who comments party trick, huh? I thought you got it.
First time George is ever in the comments. Have you had flubs before?
Where
you,
oh yeah.
And he come to mind where you're like, ah, oh, that's
really oh man, not yet. The biggest one. I mean, I've had just some crappy promos that you know you get in early, you don't have any equity. I want to say something right now. I ain't saying it. You know what I mean? But 10 years ago, if Vince is like, you're saying this, and it's highlighted, then you're gonna say it. Ugh. And I said some crazy stuff, which still followed like the suffering succotash. I don't even remember. I just remember it was suffering succotash. And it was like literally 8 years ago, and it will still be brought. I mean, I delivered some really good work over the past few years, and they'll still be like suffering succotash. But, so it's just one of those deals.
Yeah,
and then I came back from, I think it was my hernia injury early on, and I came back and the Rumble was coming up pretty soon, and I did a run in, beat up some people, and then I did a promo backstage, and I was supposed to be declaring for the Royal Rumble. And when I hit that declare, I forget how I flubbed it, but when I did, I just said, like, I flubbed the clip. And I just looked right in the camera. Yeah, it was, we were in Cleveland. I remember it. Yeah, it was bad. And I was like, because it was a pretty dope segment of me coming in and beating everybody up. I think I like speared Big Show. It was really cool. And then I'm supposed to have this, like, I'm declaring for the Royal Rumble and I'm going to win it, go to WrestleMania, you know, the whole nine.
You short circuit.
Yeah.
But the hard part for you is like for babyface or like people that have that like jovial positive energy, when you do that, you could just crack a smile and just start laughing about it. You
but
know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When you're the bad guy, like nobody wants to see the Joker. Like, you want to have I ever told you how I got these scars? Like, if he messes it up, he's not going to start cracking up, like laughing at his.
Yeah,
but
you
can't do that.
Yeah, but.
Yeah, Batman flubs his one cool line. Yeah, it's like, oh, let's do it again. Yeah, back on your ones. Exactly. But Joker can get away and giggle and, yeah, you know what I mean? It's fine. But my character was not that, you know?
Right.
And it's as simple as, I mean, I started choking earlier and you just, excuse me. And then you just keep going. But you don't think of that.
Yeah.
Like in any interview you would ever do in real life, you mess up, your throat gets weird and you just, excuse me. And then you just keep going. But why don't people think to do that in a scripted wrestling promo or, yeah, you know what I mean? Like a monologue.
Because it takes away from the bravado.
It does, but that's where that confidence, you know what I mean? Like to just keep rolling and push forward.
Right.
And like, oh, I screwed up, but guess what? It's live. So I'm just going to keep rolling and get to what I was going to do. It's going to be great anyways. And that's all they're going to remember, hopefully. So
we talk about your flubs and sucker and succotash and mic drops. You got a moment that stands out to you. That is your moment. Your one golden trophy moment of all of this shit. Like the one thing that you just look at is like, yo, either, I don't know, it just stands out to you.
Man, I don't know if I just have one, but like.
It's major blood race. Give you a gut health, big boner. Standing there, just.
I don't know about a moment. Yeah, getting me a blood race and a gut race and a boner, but that comes from wrestling. No, I don't know, man, because there's been so many. I've been so fortunate. You know what I mean? And yeah, I hate to give you one of them and block them in, but there's been so.
I hate superlatives as well.
I got
like six mania main events.
Did you find like every hey, excuse me, what's your favorite time? Shut up, Mike. Ask.
All right, well, let's talk about the quality of your shit right now. How's that sound? Yeah. Did you have trouble working with John Cena since you can't see him?
No, it's better that way. It's better that way.
Oh shit! Do you have beef with John?
Yeah. How's your relationship?
That's okay. Yeah, it's good.
Fuck him. He's a movie star, bro. He's not even a real wrestler, dog. I'll fuck you up, John Cena.
Hey,
whoa.
There's two tables here.
Well, I was siding with you. Bro, you're really missing. You're not catching the vibes here, bro. I thought you catch shit. I'm trying to be on your team, dog. You've been flopping right now. Look at that camera. Yeah,
you throw
flopped.
It way over there and way over there. You got to throw it right up.
You got to hit his hand.
John Cena, I stepped up to the plate. I'm not on your partner anymore. I'm not doing it. I like his movies too, and I think he's a comedic genius. I'm on his team now.
You're everywhere, bro. You're all over.
He's the weird guy. I too am finding it hard to keep up with you, especially today. Always in general, but especially today.
I didn't sleep.
Is it a travel day for you?
I had a red eye here.
Oh, okay.
And he's like, yeah, I could tell, man.
Yeah, wait, okay, hold on. Because there was one. I've watched a couple of your shows, and one of them, I don't remember who it was. This was a good interview. But he was screwing it all up.
Yeah.
It was something about a plane where he almost died. He took too many edibles or something like
that. Yeah,
It was all messed up. And I feel like this is what happened last night.
Sugar Sean O'Malley. I'll never forget this.
Okay. That's right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right.
Bro, I had to leave. I literally passed out. I was actually in pain. Thanks for remembering that episode. But you just shitted on me. Now the whole comments.
Well, no, I'm trying to bring
you fuck up everything.
I love
just
it.
Redeeming you.
The arc that's happening between you two in just the 40
minutes—it's like a roller coaster.
Phenomenal back and forth.
We're a little here right now, but we're
gonna, you guys are coming back.
We're coming back. We're coming back. All right, this is the part of the story.
Roman, do you please? Do you find that when the WWE has two big boys, two rivals that are top dogs? Do you think that's when the company is thriving the most? And is that you and Brock right now? Because it's been very exciting watching you guys go back and forth.
Oh, thank you. I think when the competition, whether it's outside or inside or preferably both, it's always going to push, you know, business and just create a more competitive, aggressive atmosphere. Me and Brock we've main evented a bunch of huge shows together. I mean, we covered pretty much the full calendar year two, dotting through it. Mm-hmm. Big pay-per-views, WrestleMania main event. So I would definitely say he's been, thus far, my biggest rival.
Is he hard to work with?
Yeah, he's fucking Brock Lesnar, man. He picks you up and throws you on your head. There's nothing nice about that. Yeah, it's very tough to work with.
I want
a human being like that, that some call him like the alpha male of our species. You know, it's true. He really is what he is. He he's a great businessman, but at the same time, he has a legitimate background of MMA that when you get in the ring, there has to be some kind of protection of that legitimacy. You know what I mean? So we can't just put him in there with anybody. But at the same time, when you get in there with him, you kind of understand it's going to be a bit of a ride.
For sure.
But there's going to be a lot of eyeballs on it. So that always makes it better.
Yeah, he was a very good collegiate wrestler.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken. And in MMA, I think he was a UFC champ at one point.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't know if he defended his belt. Excuse me, Brock. I'd love to have you on the show one day. But I've seen videos of Brock wrestling and going really hard sometimes too hard, right? Like, I got into this business not sure what to expect. And sometimes shit gets really real.
You know,
yeah.
Like a lot of those moves aren't like moves, dude. Like they hurt.
It all hurts.
Yeah. What?
I don't know if you got to tell me which ones aren't hurting you so I can use those falls and moves. But yeah, I mean, you know, we're not delivering the mail. It's not ballet.
Has it ever been too rough and gotten too real as a result?
No, because I mean, if it's gotten too real, then the performance gets screwed up and that, you know, it gets awkward and you can tell there's not a chemistry or a flow to it. That's the art of it. But at the same time, you're going to work, you're going to perform with a bunch of different people. So the styles kind of make it. So, I mean, sometimes you got to go in there and bang. If you're in there with Sheamus or a Drew or a Brock, if you're in there with one of the big boys, sometimes the touch isn't the same and it's a little stiffer and a little rougher than it usually will. And you're going to get marked up. And my main thing is if you mess my jaw up, I'm not eating good after. And that's where I get irritated. But if you hit me, you hit me. It just is what it is. Some people, you know, you put me in there with like a Seth Rollins or, you know, some people who are just super technically sound and just very crisp with their movements. And we'll go in there and you'll just be like, man, it's like two ninjas. And, you know, it's just beautiful. The chemistry, it's just paced and it's proper. And sometimes it's a slobber knocker out there where you're just hitting each other and sweat's flying. And yeah, it just is what it is.
How did Paul end up leaving Brock to come over to
talk about Paul Heyman?
Yeah.
Me?
Heyman, yeah. I ask out of a self.
Yeah, Brock was in between contracts, so Paul was kind of wide open, and it just fit. You know, he had that opening creatively. He was still just working behind the scenes from a creative standpoint, and then once it opened up, I mean, when you're working with someone like Brock for as long as he did and with the success that they had, you need to have something that's like legitimate come through to make that move. And I think I was really the only one that he wanted to work with. Otherwise, I think he would just stay kind of plugged in and be helping from an overall directive standpoint. But yeah, once he knew, oh, I'm going to be with Joe, it's all good. I'm going to be with Roman, it's all good. Then we knew it was on.
Have you learned like a lot from Paul just from all the time that he spent with Brock?
Oh, I was learning from Paul before I was with Paul. You know what I mean? So, and he was with my family for decades before I even got in the business. So I'm always learning from Paul. I mean, and it's not even just like, you know, wrestling stuff, like business stuff. I pick up stuff as, you know, just talking father to father. There's a lot of different things you can learn from a Paul Heyman because there's the life experience. And especially within our business, he's just been at the very top of that mountain
for so long
as a promoter, as a talent, as a manager. There's just been so many roles that he's fulfilled and he does it at an elite level that it's hard not to learn from someone like him.
The reason I asked, by the way, is just I just noticed that it seems like some of the top guys do better when they have a sidekick with them.
So now you're gonna suggest he steals Paul.
Get out of here, George.
Because he's younger, and in a year he's gonna be better, right? This guy,
Paul Heyman gave me some advice backstage, and I've been watching, like I said, a lot of WWE docs, and that he is, I can say hands down, probably the most animated human I've ever seen in my life. He looks like when I'm watching these documentaries, it looks like he's cast because he's a character. He looks like a movie character. Like every agent manager is made to look like Paul Heyman looks and acts in real life. But yeah, it's been so cool to be amongst the presence of people who are dons in this business backstage. You know, that's all. That was the end of that sentence.
I don't
look too stupid now.
He just ended a sentence.
I'll take it from here. I'll take it from here. Hand me the stupid stick. Hand me the stupid stick.
I love how he still said, "Nah, you still are, you're stupid."
Bro, your lineage is also fascinating.
Oh yeah,
the bloodline. I can't pronounce your last name. Can I? I'll give it a shot if you want.
Sure.
I know. I know.
Not too bad, yeah. Anoa'i.
Oh. Oh, it was pretty bad, man. You got
to
You got to pause at that.
We yeah.
Anuai.
No. I was just talking to my daughter about it. I mean, it's been butchered.
Butchered, I can imagine.
Yeah.
It's an apostrophe I at the end.
Yeah.
Anuai family. But okay, you're Samoan. Mm. And there is a bloodline. An Anuai family in the WWE. High Chief Peter Mavia, The Rock's granddad. The Wild Samoans, Yokozuna, Rishiki, Umaga, The Rock, The Usos, you. What's up with that? Samoans are just like, I'm huge, I look good, I'm gonna beat the shit out of some people.
We're just really good at this shit. Hey, we back, baby. We're back. The full arc, we did it. Hey, I told you, man. Where are we going to dinner?
Bro, you know what anywhere I'm you want to go, bro. It's on you. You are way richer than me.
But yeah,
we're working on that. Though. Yes, yeah, we're working on that, right?
We're gonna yeah
get George up there.
He's grinding.
He's still in the grind.
Okay, stop buying all those edibles,
bro. I was nervous about the flight, so I took edibles and then I passed out.
Grave
and they had to resuscitate.
Grave error.
That was the flight I was on with you when I looked over and you had the mask on. Right?
Yep.
But yeah, your bloodline runs deep in the industry, and I'm curious if you know one of the gods in the bloodline and in the WWE is The Rock, and I'm curious if when you were growing up, if you looked up to him as sort of an idol, what could become of your life?
I don't know if I looked up to him as an idol or anything, because it's weird because the relationship, right, and the connection and the family. So there's always been a great respect for what he's done and admiration for how he's able to do it and the charisma that he possesses in order to affect people. So like we always knew like, yeah, he's special, and it, you know what I mean? And he's doing it on a different level. And, it, you know, you get to a point where it's like, all right, well, it's going to slow down, right? But it just kept going, and he just keeps getting bigger and bigger, and his footprint just gets larger. But it was definitely one of those things where it's like, oh, he's doing something major, and I'd like to do something similar. I don't know if I'll be able to, like, push it the envelope that far, but, I mean, he's definitely representing our family, our bloodline. And if I can push myself to reach, you know, levels close to that, I think I'm doing all right.
No, for real. Are you going to wrestle him at WrestleMania next year?
I don't book the show, brother. You know that. I mean, I'm up for anybody. Like I said,
I tried, guys.
They keep trying. Everybody keeps trying on this one. If it works out, then I'm ready. And it seems like it's been that way. All the big names, all the big stars, whether they're from, you know, our business, from the movies to the internet now. I've been in a very, very cool groove to where these things have kind of just come to me. So I hopefully they'll just continue to do that with him.
That would be insane. Also, WrestleMania next year is slated to be fucking bonkers.
It's going to be crazy.
From what I hear. It's in LA.
Oh, shit.
It's in LA, bro. On my birthday, April 1st and 2nd. Shit. What's going on? Crazy. So we're
don't need y'all to focus him in then. You know, you surround him. Keep,
he's folk, brother.
He doesn't
brother,
care about birthdays at all, bro.
Yeah, he don't care about birthdays. He hates birthdays. But he's focused, man.
Okay.
That's, you know, he really is. That's one thing I'll say about him. He takes everything very seriously. I've had the, you know, great opportunity to be around this guy for the past 6+ years. And I've seen him take on NFTs. I've seen him take on boxing. I've seen him take on YouTube.
I've seen him take on
every industry under the sun. But watching the respect and time and dedication he has for this individual pursuit is like nothing I've ever seen before. He looks at it like a science, something he has to study.
Because what you said, I really do like it, and it's something I can focus on because I know I can get better at it. I can I can see a really healthy and exciting arc for what I believe is a challenge for me as a human being and what I want to do in my life. Like, it's a such an interesting industry, and like I said, I'm just happy to be on it. I'm gonna be looking to the greats like you for just advice and shit to do, but.
He's really locked in on this being the main champion thing. He's talked about it constantly. Like, it's gonna be mine. It's an easy takeaway. I can grab that thing whenever I want it. Like, the opponents aren't that strong.
Oh, you talking about my stuff?
Yeah. No, no, hit him. He's 100% saying the title's his. Like, basically, you can just
my
walk.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Right. Like, basically, you just walk up and take it any day. Like, oh. Doesn't even have to really practice. Right. Right.
Both my co-hosts are, they could be pricks.
I knew me and George, we've been going through it.
You know what I'm saying?
Mike. I mean, you had some good questions too. You stayed on that Cena thing a little long. Like, you don't like Cena, do you?
Look at this guy, dude.
But he's kind of turning on us a little bit. Yeah. I guess we're here for two, right?
Yep. Yeah, yep.
Fuck Mike.
I'll see you guys at Chili's. I'll see you at Chili's later. I'll see you at Chili's.
Yeah, my WWE reps just back there like, oh God, we can't.
Yeah, all five of them.
Anymore, yeah.
Came with an army.
Big team.
You got the Uso brothers on your side.
That's right.
They're in the bloodline as well?
Brothers.
Us three we're the OGs of the bloodline. I grew up with them. I met them when I was, 3 years old when they moved to Florida from California. And we've been pretty much triplets attached at the hip since then.
No way.
Yeah, we went to the same high schools together.
Oh, wow. I didn't know.
Played football our whole lives. Yeah, man, it was pretty cool.
There's nothing like getting money, getting all that with your boys.
I've traveled the whole world. I mean, even if we never wrestled, our lives, I mean, just like being athletes in high school and you know, being like a little clique in there and then like working together and like a regular job. I mean, as office furniture installers, we had the best time ever. You know, like where they're like, people are like, they're like, y'all got to quiet down. Like, we're building cubicles loud as shit, just having a ball doing it because we just enjoy being around
each other.
Isn't
that the weirdest part of it? He talks about this all the time. He talks about his days at Five Guys.
Yep.
And he's like, those were the easiest, most carefree.
Things were simple, man.
Yo,
bro. If I could go back, I would love that.
But now, I mean, we've traveled the world. We've toured, you know, like we've partied together everywhere you can imagine. It's crazy. It's been a really cool run.
And was there ever a fallout? Was there ever one girl you guys fought about? One like situation? Nothing? Like, you guys?
No, I mean, I've seen them butt heads pretty good as twins. That's a thing. Like they. I mean, if you know, if you're close to twins, it gets pretty crazy. Like, cheers. Yeah. When it happens, when they don't want to be around each other, they do not want to be around each other. Cause it's like the same, it's like me on, you know, in my face all the time, like always being me, looking like me, talking like me. So there's no, like, there's nothing exclusive about being a twin. So yeah, I mean, I've seen them butt some heads, but at the same time, you know, they'll love each other just like that.
Dude, you're surrounded by twins.
Yeah, I was about
my
to say.
My whole life.
That's so
literally my, yeah, it's crazy. My whole life has been surrounded by twins.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Are you noticing that your 5 year olds are like bumping heads yet or no?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Really?
They fight. But the babies actually, the 2 year olds fight more. They pulling out chunks of hair.
Oh.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Oh, they're fighting.
We'll go in and get them out in the morning and like there's like, what is it? Like a little tumbleweed of hair. I'm like, oh shit. Like they were going out.
What do you say? How do you control that? What do you say to them? Like,
oh, they're brothers. They gotta figure it out. You try to help but at the end of the day, that's their relationship. I don't understand. I've never had any relationship that's as strong as a twin relationship and a connection. So I don't know how to tell them how to be twins, but I can tell them what's right and wrong and like, you need to stop doing that. But at the same time, if you shelter one, then he's going to need your help the whole time. Like, eventually stand up to your brother, like go hit him and pull his hair back if you got to. I don't want that to happen. But
you go to his house, he's just handing them like a tiny belt. He's like,
now go hit him.
Skillet. A little skillet.
Go get your receipt. Yeah, go get him back. Go get him back. Okay. Hit him and then bring him in the living room and then y'all fight. Let's go. Let's see.
Pick up the chair. Fold it. Pick it up. Hit him.
No, other side. Flip it.
Pick up the ladder. I know it's a little big. Close it. Hit him in the belly. Can you explain what a receipt is? I've heard this term used in the industry.
You hit me harder than I feel like I should be hit, and the next one's gonna come a little harder to you. Yeah,
you got to get your dues. You got to
cash that check.
Your payback.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
It works itself out there. That's why when like you're like, well, it's getting a little aggressive.
Yeah,
we just start hitting harder, and then at the end of the day,
okay,
you get the job done.
What happens when you're running out of receipt paper, and at that point, you guys are just beating the fuck out of each other?
Then you have two unprofessional people who shouldn't be out there
if that happens
for a large crowd. Yeah, they're not in the right. Yeah, we'll call Dana White and send them over there.
I've always wanted to ask about fitness in this industry. I find it fascinating because the WWE train moves, as you know, so quick, so rapidly, well-oiled machine, tons of performers, crew, everything. And I'm so curious how you guys stay in shape. I have time off. I go back home. I work out, right? I don't work nearly as many hours as you guys do. How do you stay in shape? When do you have the time?
Oh, it's just built into the routine. You know what I mean? It's like anything else. You just know, okay, I'm going to train before the show. So you go and you work out. You fly in, you work out. You go to the show, you do it. Jump on the bus, go to the next town, wake up, work out.
Where are you working out, by the way? Hotel gyms or you find
it? I mean, it would depend. If I need to really lift, then I need to go to a real commercial gym, a Gold's.
But that's what I'm saying. You just roll up alone. You got like a crew. Do people bother you?
So I travel on a bus. So I don't have just a car to take me. So I usually, we park up at the arenas and then I'll have a referee that's there and I'll borrow somebody's car or he'll drive, a ref will drive me. Or if my cousins are there, they'll come and scoop me up once they wake up. And then we'll just go. But I mean, I don't roll with any security. Yeah, I've been fortunate enough to where I hadn't had to have security.
I mean, you're your own security.
But at the same time, you get a group of people acting weird and want to test, then
it's a group or people being.
It's the same thing for you because they're like, oh, that he boxes, man. I wonder if he really is tough.
Guys, it's really about.
I bet you I could box him. You know,
It's just weird how
that's actually very true.
Has anybody ever stepped up?
Never. And I always say this, and I don't want people to I don't want to do it. I don't want to fight nobody and for real. I want to go about my day and just be a regular human, right? But I've been fortunate to the hates we talked about earlier, where it can get crazy. Even when it was at its worst, nothing ever happened in real life. It's all respect and love in real life. But on that internet, boy, they'll spew some man. You know that better than anybody.
Oh,
in the world.
People
come in with some
phone.
Negativity on that internet. But in real life, never.
How's that for you? Have you ever had any trouble dealing with the online stuff?
Yeah, I mean, early on, I had elevated way of thinking about it. But even just being as a human, you're going
of course,
I'm gonna clap back on this guy, and then you get a little pop from a few thousand people that are with you, and then you make someone famous for 15 minutes on the internet, and then it's well, I'm kind of a jerk for doing that. So now it's just character stuff only.
Yeah,
I'm not responding to haters or trying to clap
it's a waste
back.
Of breath.
I mean, it's funny for a second, but at the same time, it's just a waste of breath.
He told me early on, he was years ago, he's at some point you'll become immune to it. And I never believed him because call 3-4 years ago when I would have an avalanche of hate for this reason or that reason, it would get to me, bro. I would hole up for 3-4 days and he'd be like, yo, we got work to do, bro. What the fuck you doing? I'm like, bro, I'm not in good shape. He's like, bro, get the fuck out of the room. Now it's eventually you get this immunity. It's like Teflon.
You can't.
No one, there's nothing there's not a single thing anybody could say that could make me even look up or perk up and listen at all. You know, I think eventually that's how every digital creator has to get. You have to.
You just got to callous over and just get used to it.
Which is good and bad because it's now you're
you don't feel the same. Yeah. You know what I mean? As taking in and you've just hardened yourself and you've curbed your emotions, which isn't good. But at the same time, is it necessary? You don't want people to have access to your anger button. Only one person in this world can make me mad. And that's my wife.
I knew it.
I don't let nobody else possess that anger button. So I just won't show it to them. They don't know how to locate it. Therefore, they won't ever be able to push it.
How do you handle that situation when she starts pushing the button?
5-star frog splash. Off the top rope.
And you got a breathing exercise. What are you doing?
That's where the communication comes in. And that's when it's you got a top guy on the road. Jobber at home, you know what I mean? You have to really humble yourself and remember, the basics of life. And at the end of the day, I'm just a husband and a father, you know what I mean? And this WWE and this platform that, has carried me and lifted me to new heights, we have to check that. It's like taking the ego into the gym. You just check it at the door and there ain't no Roman Reigns in my house. You know what I mean? I'm just Joe talking to my wife that I knew before I even knew I was going down this path. So I think it comes with a very deep sense of respect and opening that line of communication to talk it through and find those understandings and figure it out. Otherwise it's just going, I mean, if you've ever been in a serious relationship, you already know, or lived with a female, your partner or whatever, how it is. It's not easy, but it's a work in progress. And
it's an ego death too.
Also, she's been with you on all your verticals, the cancer, the starting out.
For
the
a
hate.
Long time too.
Yeah. So it's a different view. He's seeing it from a different point.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. See it at. For sure.
But I actually am lucky enough to have a girl that is like a backbone. And I actually tell people, like, having a girl that's good for you can make you go so much faster in life and stronger. But having a girl that's bad for you could just pull you back. It's like it's never in the middle. It's either it's really good for you or it's terrible for you. And obviously vice versa for men as well. Men can be toxic shit.
Yeah.
You're less weird now that the podcast is ending, and I want to say thank you for being.
Oh, I appreciate it. Yeah, I appreciate it. I actually want to apologize to fucking no one. So because like I am completely fine with being myself. Because you know, comments for me. I grew up with bullies that threw shit at me. Reading the comments, first of all, I can't read. So, joke's on you, buddy. You can't even get your message across.
But we're not talking about to them. We're talking about apologize to him.
I mean, you can't hit me. You have lawyers that'll tell you not to hit me, right? Like,
well, you have lawyers, but you don't always listen to them. That's
true.
Just settle. Whatever. What do you want? I'll a million? Settle. Whatever.
I would take that, George.
I would too.
Bro, thank you for blessing us with your presence, man. Ladies and gentlemen, Roman Reigns on this episode of Impulsive. It's the number one podcast in the world. I said Roman fucking Reigns.
I was going to ask him if he had anything to promote.
Two guys over there, they popped.
Did you see how you looked over there and you gave them acknowledgement and then you took around the room and all of a sudden we
found that guy's going nuts over there.
Yeah, look at him. Look at him.
Yeah, for real, bro. We'll let you get back to your busy schedule. Where can they follow you on social media?
At WWE Roman Reigns. Instagram, I don't
know. You know where he
is. Yeah, that checks out.
This is the first time anyone's ever asked me to say that, and I don't have my handle ready, so I apologize. I'm on the internet and stuff, or just watch SmackDown. I run that show, and Logan Paul will never have it.
Ooh, oh, this is shit. Nice. I like how you fumbled.
Hey,
and
we're
you kept
back,
rolling.
George. We're back. Yeah. Moving, baby. You just keep going until you feel good. You
know? All right. We'll see. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you. We'll see you next time. Peace. Why did I clap again? No, that's it. That's it. All right. Thank you, bro.
thank you.
Okay. Well, here we are.
Next time.
That was good.
I think he likes me.
Yeah, well, we'll see, man.
What did you say?
I think he likes me.
Yeah, I don't think so.
No, I know he didn't like me. But it's okay. I'm Team Logan anyways. Fuck that.
He was great. He's a great guest.
He's more than great, dude. He's like the guy right now. 100%. Like what I said about seeing him in the ring, he's like, there's nobody else. There's nobody else on that level right now, bro. There's just not.
Ooh.
I can feel the dog coming out of me. Like when I watch him on TV and in the ring, I just want to fucking wrestle the guy.
Already?
That's what I do. That's what I do, dog. I did it with Floyd Mayweather. My second opponent was Floyd fucking Mayweather.
A retired Floyd Mayweather. Like, you're talking about you want to have a dog fight with the guy.
Floyd Mayweather.
You're a chihuahua going against a German shepherd, bro. The dude is a god in the space. Like, applause for your kickoff. You've been crushing it, but, like, you got a little work to do before you're on that level.
Nah.
Are you sure?
That.
You see what I did at SummerSlam?
It's amazing.
When is the last time you've seen something like that done? Top rope, onto the table, on my second match ever. It's what I do. I love competing at the highest level. As soon as I get into the thing, you're not gonna like this. You put me against Roman Reigns right now, I think I win.
Let's go.
Fuck out of here.
Let's go. Let's go, bro.
I'll say it to camera. I don't care. I don't care that he just left. Me versus Roman Reigns, one on one. That's my match.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.